In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear parishioners, there is a story about the atheist philosopher Bertrand Russell being asked what he would say if he found himself standing before God on the Day of Judgment, and God asked him, "Why didn't you believe in me?" Russell replied, "Not enough evidence, God. Not enough evidence." For some people, no amount of evidence could ever convince them to believe in God and in Jesus' resurrection. But in today's gospel, we don't hear of the obstinate disbelief of a cynical atheist, but of someone who is struggling. The disbelief of the apostle Thomas reflects the doubts of someone who would like very much to believe in Jesus' resurrection, but he just finds it too astonishing to accept. And perhaps his astonishment at the claims of Jesus' resurrection should prompt us to reflect on our own faith as well. If only we realized just how astonishing the resurrection is, we might spend more time thinking about it. Indeed, the resurrection is not like any other event in history. Not since the dawn of creation has anything so significant happened. For although in the Bible there are numerous accounts of people being raised from the dead, Jesus' resurrection is unique. Jesus' resurrection is totally different because those other people came back to life with bodies much the same as before. Bodies that were still limited by the normal restrictions of space and time, and bodies that were still subject to suffering, corruption, and death. But when Jesus rose from the dead, he rose with a glorified body. He still had the same body, a body which still bore the marks of his cruel death, but in his resurrection, his body was fundamentally transformed into a body that would never die. So powerful was the transformation of the resurrection that anyone now believes in the resurrection will also be transformed and enjoy eternal life in Jesus' name. So, the resurrection is truly astonishing. It changes everything. Perhaps then, St. Thomas' initial disbelief was not simply because he was a stubborn skeptic. Perhaps it was because he realized that Christ's resurrection, if true, would be far more significant than any of the other miracles he had witnessed. But when Thomas finally meets the risen Lord, he not only accepts that Jesus is risen, but he goes way beyond what any of the other apostles say. In the confession, "My Lord and my God," Jesus admits that Jesus is truly divine. This is the deepest truth there is, and no amount of empirical evidence can make you believe it. It's only by the gift of faith that anyone can say that Jesus is God. So St. Thomas the Apostle, he's not venerated, he's not revered as a saint because of his doubt, but because of his act of faith when he finally did encounter the risen Christ. Therefore, if we should ever struggle with doubt of faith, we can look to the witness of St. Thomas, for he shows us that the power of the resurrection far surpasses any doubts we might have. But for many people in the modern world, doubt is not something to be avoided, but rather it is to be embraced. Skepticism is often held up as a model of virtue, that the only way to attain any reliable reliable certainty is to start from a position of doubt. Now, clearly, in the realms of natural science, the method of doubt has been extremely successful. After all, our modern technology has depended on scientists coming up with propositions, with hypotheses, the implications of which have then been carefully tested experimentally. And this is all well and good in the realm of science. But the problem is when this methodology is applied to absolutely everything else. For there is surely a virtue to doubting, and this does not mean doubting everything, but rather it means knowing when it's good to doubt and when it's good to simply believe. For instance, doubting might be a good default position in the science lab, but it's not a very good default position in the area of human relationships. If we are to relate properly to one another, there needs to be a degree of trust. We therefore have to find that mean between always being doubtful and always being believing. But when it comes to the resurrection, there is no virtue in doubting it whatsoever. Of course, we still need evidence to believe in the resurrection, but we do have evidence. We have the Gospels, we have the witnesses of the martyrs, and we have the living tradition of the Church. This is all the evidence we need. And to ask for more evidence is to lack the virtue of knowing when to put doubt aside. Now, this virtue requires humility. It requires us to accept that the deepest truth of all are not something we can work out for ourselves. We can only be told of this truth. And the deepest truth of all is that Jesus has risen from the dead, that through the cross he has conquered death, and that he is the eternal Son of God who calls us to share in his eternal life with the Holy Spirit. In our weak human nature, we may struggle to believe this. But as the example of St. Thomas shows us, the gift of faith more than makes up for what is lacking in our nature. And so through the power of prayer and through God's infinite patience and mercy we celebrate today, we can embrace this astonishing reality and be transformed by it. Let us therefore pray that God will strengthen us in our faith so that we too may bear witness to the divinity of the risen Lord, just as the apostles Thomas did. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.